The reading this morning is taken from Exodus chapter 4, beginning at the first verse to 1 to 17. If you want to read it in the Bible, church Bibles, you'll find it on page 54 in the Old Testament section. Otherwise, it's on the screen behind me, I hope. Exodus chapter 4, beginning at the first verse. It's signs for Moses. And the theme is, what's in your hand? Then Moses answered, but suppose they do not believe me or listen to me, but say, the Lord did not appear to you. The Lord said to him, what is that in your hand? Moses said, a staff. And he said, throw it on the ground. So he threw the staff on the ground, and it became a snake. And Moses drew back from it. Then the Lord said to Moses, reach out your hand and seize it by the tail. So he reached out his hand and grasped it, and it became a staff in his hand, so that they may believe that the Lord, the God of their ancestors, the God of Abraham, the God of Isaac, and the God of Jacob, has appeared to you. Again, the Lord said to him, put your hand inside your cloak. He put his hand into his cloak, and when he took it out, his hand was leprous, as white as snow. Then God said, put your hand back into your cloak. So he put his hand back into his cloak, and when he took it out, it was restored like the rest of his body. If they will not believe you, or heed the first sign, they may believe the second sign. If they will not believe even these two signs, or heed you, you shall take some water from the Nile and pour it on the dry ground, and the water that you shall take from the Nile will become blood on the dry ground. But Moses said to the Lord, oh, my Lord, I have never been eloquent, neither in the past nor even now that you have spoken to your servant. But I am slow of speech and slow of tongue. Then the Lord said to him, who gives speech to mortals? Who makes them mute or deaf, seeing or blind? Is it not I, the Lord? Now go, and I will be with your mouth and teach you what you are to speak. But he said, oh, my Lord, please send someone else. Then the anger of the Lord was kindled against Moses, and he said, what of your brother Aaron, the Levite? I know that he can speak fluently. Even now he is coming out to meet you, and when he sees you, his heart will be glad. You shall speak to him and put the words in his mouth. And I will be with your mouth and with his mouth, and will teach you what you shall do. He indeed shall speak for you to the people. He shall serve as a mouth for you, and you shall serve as God for him. Take in your hand this staff with which you shall perform the signs. This is the word of the Lord.
May I speak in the name of the Father and the Son and of the Holy Spirit. So, okay, let's try. So Moses has this call from God to go and save the Hebrews in Egypt. But for the last 40 years, he has been looking after his father-in-law, Jethro's sheep. And we come now that he's out looking after the sheep. And one day, just a bit before these verses, he sees this bush burning. but it's not being consumed. And so God calls Moses and starts this extraordinary conversation with him. Go home and read the whole story previously in chapter 3. So God has heard the plight of his people in Egypt. He's heard their cry. And he decides to send Moses to go and free them. And Moses gives every excuse he can think of to not fulfill this call. He isn't worthy. He doesn't know God's name. If he goes, the people won't believe that God sent him, or then they won't listen to him. He's not good with words. He can't communicate. Send someone else. And then sort of in the middle of these excuses, I think God seems to be getting pretty frustrated with Moses. And he says, what is that in your hand? What is that in your hand? And Moses responds, it's a staff. It's a staff. That, Lord, is what is in my hand. An ordinary shepherd's crook, which he would have used day after day after day to lead his father-in-law's sheep, not his own, to protect them, to guide them. He would lean on it to go up the rugged mountains or wherever he was in the wilderness. An ordinary shepherd's staff is in his hand. I was brought up in Scotland, and we were not allowed to go on the hill. We call mountains hills in Scotland. My stepfather would not let us go out on the hill without our sticks. And we all, family, each of us have our own sticks that have been made by various shepherds we've had over the years. They're special to us. We say, don't take my stick. This was Moses' stick. It was his identity. I wonder, did he day after day think, I am just a shepherd? Did he reminisce about the time when he was a young boy, a young man, being brought up in Pharaoh's palace, where he would have had very different things in his hands, things of worth and beauty? And so he says to God, I have a staff in my hand. Did he also think about the failure of 40 years ago when he murdered an Egyptian for beating up a Hebrew, a kinsman? Did he remember the shame and the guilt and the things he could have been? Did this staff remind him of that too, as he, day after day, looked after his father-in-law's sheep? We too can hold on to things today, can't we? We can hold on to the past. We can hold on to our problems. We can hold on to grudges. But we can also hold on to our abilities and our talents and our skills. They can define us. They can define our personality. We can sometimes hold things in our hands and think, this is what I've got in my hand, and this is who I am. God said to Moses, what is that in your hand? Let's think about the staff perhaps being more of a problem for Moses in his hand rather than potential to start with. God told Moses to throw the staff on the ground. And what happened? It turned immediately into a snake. Now, we presume Moses would have been quite used to snakes in the wilderness. So people suggest that actually it turned into a cobra. And we hear that he jumps back for it, not surprisingly. And cobra in Egypt was a symbol of power. If you remember, pharaohs would wear a golden cobra around their necks to show the power they held. And God tells Moses to pick this cobra up by the tail. Well, if anyone knows anything about snakes, which I don't really, but I'm told you do not pick up a snake by your tail. You pick it up at its neck. But God told him to pick it up. And what did Moses do? He picked it up. It appears he had enough trust and faith in God to pick up that cobra. But it doesn't appear that he had enough faith and trust in God to send him to Egypt, even though God had turned this into a snake, put his hand to become leprosy out again, told him the water would be turned to blood. He didn't have that trust or faith in God, but he did have faith and trust to pick up. Okay. Well, I think that I'd do the opposite. I would not have that faith to pick up a flipping cobra if it was sitting there. Isn't that interesting? At least I found it was interesting. And even after that, he has two more excuses. No, God, I'm not eloquent enough. Send someone else. He still doesn't believe in himself, and he does not believe that God will use him. I don't think we need to be too quick to judge Moses, because I think we are very like that today. We believe that God answers prayer. We believe that the scriptures are the holy word. We believe that miracles do happen. We do believe that the Holy Spirit draws people to Jesus. But not through us, not through me, through someone else. And when our response is like Moses, we're basically saying to God, I don't trust you, and I don't believe what you have given me is enough. If only I had this or that, or if only my church was this or that, or if only we were situated in the city centre, or if only this, then God would use us, then God would use me. So what are we holding onto our hands today? Is there some attitude, some activity, some action, some belief that defines us, and we want to keep hold of it ourselves? Because that's who we are. We can hold on to negative things. We can hold on to positive things. We can hold on to our achievements and our success and our popularity and our power and our control. And even we can hold on to our victimization. I am like this because of what has happened to me in the past. This is who I am. I read this, which really struck me, and I'll read it, quote. Some people can't even worship because they are filled with bitterness over something someone said or did to them. Some people won't serve the Lord because everything in the church hasn't gone their way. Some people are hindered by their sins and some by their self-righteousness. Others are hindered because they think they are the best at what they do. They are filled with pride over their abilities and their accomplishments. They don't even recognize the fact that their achievements have become liabilities in their lives, unquote. God said to Moses, "What have you got in your hand?" "I have a staff." Well, it could be a problem to him, but it also could be great potential that is being held in his hand. Here's a point. To Moses, this shepherd's staff was nothing but a tool for his trade, a necessary part of his life. In his hand, it helped him to do his job. It helped him to lead and to protect and guide his sheep. It helped him to lean on it going through the rugged countryside. It was his way of life, if you like. He would not go out without his staff in his hand. But in his hand, it was just a dead, dry stick. However, when that stick was surrendered to the Lord, it became a living thing. It became a thing of power that God could use. Through Moses, to defeat Israel's enemies and to glorify God. God took that insignificant, ordinary stick and worked wonders with it. That staff, once given to God, was used in the hand of Moses to confront the Egyptian soothsayers, to turn the waters into of Egypt to blood, to bring the many plagues upon the land of Egypt, to cause the waters of the Red Sea to depart and the Red Sea to come back again, drowning Pharaoh and his army, to bring water out of a rock at Horeb, to bring victory over the Amalekites. What would have happened if Moses refused to surrender this staff to God? Well, probably a nation would have stayed in slavery. Thousands would have been killed. We may never have heard of Moses. The staff would just be another staff. But we read in verse 20, which we didn't quite get to, which I just loved. So what happened is Moses then went back to Jethro, his father-in-law, and said, "God has called me to go back to Egypt." So he picks up his wife and family. And it says this. "So Moses took his wife and his sons, put them on a donkey, and went back to the land of Egypt. And Moses carried the staff of God in his hand." I think that's amazing. It's now the staff of God. A message to us that the ordinary, insignificant things that we hold in our hand, once surrendered to God, become his for his use, for his glory, for the building of his kingdom. If Moses had not offered that staff to God, it would have had no power for God, but it would have held power over Moses. "I'm just an ordinary shepherd looking after my father-in-law's sheep, who murdered someone 40 years ago. And the shame and that guilt and that pain would have stayed with him." So what are we holding back from God? Or what is holding us back from God that we need to surrender into his hands? Because if we do not yield it, it is only a hindrance to us. Now, it may be negative things. It may be things like sin and bitterness and judgment and pain and hurt and pride. And we need to surrender them to God so they don't keep hold of us and so that he can heal them. And we can then know his joy, his freedom, his grace, his mercy, his forgiveness, his love. Or we can be withholding good things. We could be withholding God-given gifts, skills, experience, expertise. But we hold on to them because they give us our identity. That's who we are. And yet when we give them to God, he will use them to do amazing things. He will use us to do amazing things. So we need to understand today that what we hold in our hands can be a burden or can be a blessing, depending on what we choose to do with them. When we hold on to it, it can be a problem. When we surrender it to God, he's able to release that potential for not only a blessing in our lives, the blessing of the family of God, for the blessing of those people who don't know Jesus Christ yet. And we all have something in our hand, and God wants it. He wants us to what we have on our hands to throw on the ground, to surrender them to God. Give it up for God to do what he will do with it. Now, he doesn't ask us to give him what is in someone else's hands. He doesn't ask us for something that isn't in our hand. He just asks us to give him what we have in our hands. So we can choose to keep hold of what we have, or we can release it to God and see the potential of what we had no idea of what we had in our hands might do in the hands of God. What do you have in your hand, small boy? Oh, 5 loaves, 2 fishes. Not much, is it? Give it to God. 5,000 people or more are fed. What if that small boy had refused to give his picnic lunch? Well, we'd never had the miracle of feeding of the 5,000. What is in your hand, Moses? A very ordinary shepherd's crook, but which became the staff of God. And Moses carried the staff of God in his hand into Egypt. We have a choice today, brothers and sisters, to keep our hands clenched because we do not believe we have anything worthy to offer to God, or we have a fear of releasing to God what we do have in our hands. Have we drifted away in our belief and our trust in God? Really, you'll use that small offering? Are we ready to have a fresh encounter with God? A Moses moment, and hear him ask us, what is that in your hand? Let's be grateful and thankful people to God for what he has given each one of us, which is so different from someone else. Let's not be people who wish we had that person's hand, like one might do if you're playing a game of cards. I have this in my hand, Lord. He says to us today, give it up to me, and I'll bless it, and I'll break it, and I'll distribute it, and I will bring glory to my name. Let's do it then, and walk with God wherever he is calling us, so we too can carry the staff of God out into the broken world and bring people into the promised land of God's kingdom today. So let us, just before Dave comes and brings, let's just pray. Let's, let's have one hand closed, one hand open. Dear Lord Jesus, thank you for speaking to us today through this story of Moses and God's call on his life. Lord, we pray today that we will not be people with clenched fists who want to hold on to what you have given to us. But let us be people, thankful, grateful people, and give to you and surrender to you the things we hold in our hands today. So let's open that other fist and let's have both hands open to God. Lord Jesus, we give to you what we have. It may be small, but we believe in you and trust in you that you will use what we have given to you to bring freedom and release and healing and joy to a people who just don't know you, who are in dark places, who might be imprisoned in their past life. Lord, we want to be people who daily give thanks to you and surrender all that we have, our time, our gifts, our money, our forgiveness, and pour your grace and your mercy and your love into us, we pray. Amen.
Lord, we lift the world before you this morning. Amidst the innumerable crises going on across the globe, we think particularly of the wars in Iran, in Ukraine, and in Gaza. We pray for your peace to fall on those nations. We pray for the shifting political plates in North America and in Europe, and again pray for your peace to rule and reign. We pray for the unrest in our own nation with different legislation being debated and brought in, and for your peace to reign in the United Kingdom. Closer to home, we think of the clergy at St. Mark's. We pray particularly for Henny, for Simon, for Wendy and for Catherine as they lead this church in your name. We pray for Sue, the church warden. We pray for the staff team and the different teams within the church who keep things running, for the fabric team, the leadership team, and for the PCC. We pray for your guidance and your Holy Spirit to lead those decisions and to lead the lives of those people. We pray as well for a new children's and families worker, for the person that you have assigned for the role to come forward and to be employed. We think of the different circumstances which different members of this church family find themselves, and we recognise our own needs. We pray for Henny's niece's newborn son, Rollo, who's in intensive care. We pray for the Jones family with the loss of Mike's brother and for his wife and three daughters. We pray for Richard Lavender, who is recovering in hospital, for Margaret Grice, for Liz Mills, and for anyone else in our church family who are either in care homes or can't come to church We pray for your Spirit to fall on them, for your healing and for your renewal and for your peace. We pray for Henny as she prepares for her sabbatical. We pray that that'll be a time of revelation, refreshment, and a real renewal in the Spirit. And we pray lastly for the parish, for our parish, our front line of Laich and Saltney. We pray for every household, for every business, for every person who lives within the bounds of our parish. And this morning we pray that your Holy Spirit would find them and fall on them and meet with them, whether it's through us, whether it's through another plan of yours, Jesus, that your Holy Spirit would fall and rest on the parish of Laich and Saltney this morning and this week. And we pray that you would use us in our front lines with what we have in our hands. As we pray this morning, here we are, send us. And we'll finish with the Lord's Prayer, which should appear on the screen. So we say together, Our Father in heaven, hallowed be your name. Your kingdom come, your will be done, on earth as in heaven. Give us today our daily bread. Forgive us our sins, as we forgive those who sin against us. Lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For the kingdom, the power, and the glory are yours, now and forever. Amen.